Coming to you from Orange County, California, this is the Jug Life Podcast with Max Ada and Chad Wesley Smith.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Jug Life Podcast. I'm Chad Wesley Smith, joined as always by miraculous Max Montana, the birthday boy. I figure you're like immaculate Max Montana. Immaculate. You're immaculate conception, no?
Possibly.
Yeah, who knows? We are coming to you from JDI Barbell in New York, the borough of Queens. Now you can cheer again because I said Queens. You're a little early. All right. Yeah, we just finished up a little quick snatch workshop, and now we're going to be talking about time to fixation. So that's, you know, a fancy word for us to sound smarter than we really are, talking about how to go under the bar better. So today's episode is brought to you by Mob Deep Squats. That's a Queensbridge lifestyle, or Queens and Power Cleans, either one. I thought the Mob Deep Squats one is better, but Max, what is time to fixation, and how do we go about assessing our weightlifting technique to know if that's an area that we struggle in?
So when we're talking about time to fixation, the reason what we're really talking about is like speed under the bar, how fast you are going from exerting vertical force in the bar to moving under the bar and catching it. The reason we say time to fixation is because you could be really, really fast under the bar, but if you have hesitations in the movement from pulling to catching or pulling to moving under, meaning you pause or you stop, or you're moving in a horizontal direction that maybe increases the amount of time it takes, so the bar trajectory is off, it's not a good example to say just speed under the bar. But for all intents and purposes, we're just talking about moving under the bar fast, how fast you are at moving under the weight. So, in terms of like, layman's terms, right? Speed on the bar, maximizing that through two different things. One is actually moving fast under the weight, so increasing some things that maybe limit you from moving fast, like dynamic flexibility, squatting deeper, mobility stuff, and then technical fixes like pulling correctly, being in the right position, being in the right place at the right time, and then eliminating little hesitations or flaws in timing under the bar, right?
So as a lifter, not with my own lifting, because obviously flawless snatch technique, that's why they call me Snatch Wesley Smith. What would be indicative, as you look at a lifter's technique, indicative that they are lacking in this area, time to fixation?
So the two biggest things you're going to see with people that have trouble moving the bar are going to be either they power snatch or power clean as much as they do in the full lifts, meaning they're not moving under the bar really at all, or their speed under the bar is almost negligible because they're lifting the same weight they could lift to a higher height. And then people that have the bar crash on them a lot. So if you clean and you rock it to the bottom, but the bar is still up here and it comes down on you and crashes on you, another example of that.
So it's not just about how fast can I go under it, it's also the timing of it.
Well, yeah, we have two ways of looking at it. One is optimizing it, meaning making it ideal, moving under the bar at the right rhythm, the right speed, the right tempo, and being in the right place, and then maximizing it, meaning moving under the bar as fast as possible, receiving the bar in the best position at the bottom. Those two examples kind of contrast a little bit. One of them is suited a little bit more to, like, we look at like a clean, for example. You want to optimize speed under the bar and receiving position, because it's going to be more critical to be in the right position at the bottom of a clean so that you can stand from the bottom, because some people don't have super, super strong legs, versus maximizing your speed under the bar in order to get down to the bottom so low, so fast that you can, you know, receive a weight that was only pulled just barely, you know, above your belt line. Whereas in the snatch, maximizing that, we want to really capitalize on being able to get under the bar as fast as possible, as low as possible, so we can obviously lift more weight. Make sense?
All right, so before we get into showing you some of the exercises you can do to improve this, we're going to take a quick break so we can hear from our sponsors. I'm not going to talk about them now, so break.
Does your business have any New Year's resolutions? Here's an important one every business should consider. Make your hiring process more efficient and effective this year. Let ZipRecruiter help. No one has done a better job of transforming how you find the right talent than they have. ZipRecruiter posts your jobs to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. Then, ZipRecruiter actively looks for the most qualified candidates and invites them to apply. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you, it finds them. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/JugLife. That's ZipRecruiter.com/JugLife. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/JugLife.
All right, so we are back with our Jug Life Live episode from JDI Barbell in Queens, New York. Hopefully the mics pick that sound up. You're supposed to pan wildly with the camera. Oh, good. That's good, Charlie. You planned ahead for this.
Only getting your bald spots. Mine too. The two of us just has like two shiny spots right there.
So there's been a lot of accusations, I guess, about my hairline. A lot of.
How many of you guys have seen the podcast where Chad, the hair dysmorphia one? We got one real fan here. So yeah. Chad's like, as people have been saying, I have like this hairline, like Mark Bell's like, my hair's all messed up. Like, bring the camera over here, Shorty. Shorty brings the camera over. And
I could see it on a monitor.
He grabs the monitor and he looks and he's like, suddenly he realized, like, yeah. Oh my God.
I was like, bring that, like, as you get up closer, you know, it must not be reading well from farther out. And then the camera came in closer and I had a lot of realizations.
It's a Krusty the Clown scenario.
Yeah. It's hanging on this little, I call it my baby duck hair right here. It's very, very soft and fragile.
It's like down feathers.
Yeah, down feathers, and it's holding on for dear life. It's once if I lose maybe half an inch there, there's like 18 hairs here holding on. Yeah. And once those go, then the whole thing's got to go. So back to time to fixation. We've talked about what it is. Now Max is going to show you how to improve it with the assistance of Kimmy.
Some of the basic drills we would do, obviously, you're always going to snatch, right? You got to clean, you got to snatch. Those things don't ever leave the program. But as additional exercises to help fix this and to emphasize those things, the two biggest things we're going to do is basically distort the length of the pull. So doing things from blocks at different heights. We're not going to actually use blocks, but when you change the distance the bar is going to move from the ground towards your hips, you reduce the ability to accelerate the bar, right? Which is going to force you into a position where you have to move a little bit faster on the bar, or at least psychologically, you have to be more aggressive moving under the weight. So anything like high blocks where the bar is very high against your thigh above the knee, and then snatches from the hang, right? Snatches from the hang done in a reactive way where you lower the bar, then immediately pull rather than pausing and then moving under. So actually a full snatch.
Okay.
Come on, Kimmy. So those exercises are really good because they change the time factor in the pull, right? Now we have a short, condensed, explosive pull, forcing ourselves to move under the bar. If you're really slow under the bar, if you do things like power snatch more than you snatch, you're going to be in a position where those weights are basically the same. You're snatching, you know, maybe a couple kilos more than you power snatch. So you might have a really hard time doing things like hang snatches or block snatches, especially from a high position. You're going to want to power those too. So in anything, when you're training for technique, the amount of work you do at really heavy weights has to change, has to shift to lower intensities so you can actually do the lift correctly, right? We can't become really proficient lifters if we're doing shitty snatches at 90, 95% and then reinforcing bad motor patterns with high intensity. So obviously you're going to do this with lighter weights, more volume, more repetitions per set. As you do more repetitions per set, those last repetitions in the set, you know, two or three and above, are going to be more fatiguing. And they're going to relax you a little bit more, so you're forced to go under the bar a little better. Or you can capitalize on that more because now you're in a little bit more fatigue state. You can focus on speed under rather than trying to be aggressive and pulling on the bar. Does it make sense? The other thing that I like to do, and the sort of a big one I think that's pretty common, more common now, not so common when I started lifting, was eliminating the contact. Because a lot of times what happens is people are relying so much solely on generating power with their hips, they don't develop the tempo of moving under the bar, okay? They may make contact with their hips, they may kick the bar forward. Obviously, fixing just bad mechanics is the first step, but beyond that, no contact snatches. And we call them no contact snatches. Probably some people always refer to them as muscle snatches, but basically snatching without making contact with the body, no second pull, so to speak of. So we would do them into a full squat position always. The bar is never touching your body at the top. The extension has to be complete. And in doing that, you basically force a position where you're delaying the time to go under the bar and then exaggerating the speed under the bar, because when you pull past your hips, you're gonna feel like there's no chance to possibly go under, and then you have to be a little more aggressive and turn the weight over, okay? So do a couple no contact snatches. Extend a little more. Yeah. Do it a little more exaggerated where it's just farther away from you so you can see. Okay. Yeah. So same kind of thing. Things like no contact snatches, if you're somebody who pulls for too long and has a really big delay, you pull forever and then drop under, you're already mimicking that action. So doing no contact snatches, if you have issues where there's a big hesitation at the top, may just exaggerate it. So I would suggest something more like reducing the weight and doing more block snatches, more hang snatches, those kind of things. In addition to these main movements, when you're training them, you know, one or two times a week, and then you also have, you know, regular snatches one or two times a week, you would do other drills, things like drop snatches and snatch balances. They may not make you faster under the bar. I mean, it's not the same movement, right? You're not going from pulling to catching. You're going from driving or standing to catching. It's a good exercise and a good drill to teach footwork and handwork and get you comfortable with what that sensation is supposed to feel like when you catch the weight. But I wouldn't assume that doing drop snatches or snatch balances is going to make you faster under the bar. Does it make sense? It can help in if you're really soft or catching the wrong place, but not something that's going to transfer as much. The actual lift and the higher specificity exercises like hang snatch, high block snatch, no contact snatch, those kind of things are going to have a much bigger transference to actually moving to the bar faster. One more thing to remember is that a lot of these changes are subtle. You're taking lifting technique. You're not going to go do this exercise and then I look like a different lifter. It's do this exercise, understand that there's a shift in technique and an emphasis on something, right? You're not going to go from, oh, I'm like, I move at, you know, half a meter a second under the bar. Now I do no contact snatch. I move 3 meters a second under the bar. That's just not going to happen. It's more like, oh, I feel what it's like to be fast under the bar into the receiving position, or I feel what it's like to pull for a long time and finish the pull and then immediately transition under the bar. And then you use these exercises in conjunction with actually doing snatches and clean and jerks. If you just spent your whole time doing this, only these exercises, you may not have the same transference to the actual lifts because you've just distorted the technique to get this effect, but you're not practicing the skill along with it, the actual skill of lifting. Make sense, everybody? In the clean, we talk about like optimizing things. When we receive a clean, for people that have a hard time standing with the bar, they catch the clean in the bottom, the bar crashes on them, they can't stand up. A lot of times people immediately look to leg strength. And they say, oh, he's got a, you know, your front squat is only a little bit more than your clean and jerk, or you have a hard time there. The first thing you should look at, in addition to their leg strength, is the position they receive the weight. So when we talk about time to fixation and optimizing that stuff, optimizing your speed under the bar and the way you receive the weight. In the clean, we don't want to have a situation where we're dropping so low and so deep that the bar crashes on us. Obviously, if it's the, you know, gold medal winning lift at the Olympics, then like, I don't fucking care what you do. You just have to lift it, right? But in terms of developing good lifting skills and developing technique, you want to receive the clean a little bit higher so that when you actually receive the weight, you have time to tense up your tissues in the legs, you get in the right position at the bottom of the squat, and you can rebound properly. If you're catching it and you're on your heels, you're rocked backward, you try to stand, it just everything falls behind you and that's it. You can't get up. First thing to look at is the pull. So in terms of optimizing it, we want to change the rhythm of how we actually receive the bar. Two variations of the clean would be like a power clean plus a clean, so we can reinforce receiving the bar just above parallel and riding it down, and then a no contact clean so we can do the same thing as we did in the snatch. We're going to use less weight. We're just forced to use less weight in the no contact version because there just simply isn't there isn't as much power, right? So we have to reduce the load anyways. That's going to allow us to catch it slightly higher. But in addition to that, we're, again, pulling the bar as high as we can and then being more aggressive and faster to receive the weight, okay? So do a power clean, then a clean. I mean, from below the knee or something. Good. And then actual clean. Right? Ideally, we want to receive the bar high and tight, ride it down, and finish the rebound. We don't want to catch at the bottom, you know, with our weight on our heels, our ass down, back rounded, you know, and then, like, your eyes pop out of your head, you turn purple, and you finally get to the top, and everybody in the room is like, well, he's not making the jerk, right? So then it's, you know, it's pretty much a moot point at that there. Do a no contact one now. So same thing. It's not just about going under the bar as fast and low as possible. It's about tempo, timing, rhythm, maximizing those things, eliminating hesitations between pulling and receiving the weight. Again, things that maximize that too are, you know, in general technique is maximizing your second pull. If you make a good crisp explosion at the top of the pull, you have an easier time moving under the bar. How many of you guys have ever done a deadlift? Right? When you're halfway up the deadlift, if you stop pulling, what happens to the bar? It starts going down, right? If you don't get an explosion, if you're not propulsing the bar upward and you're not imparting upward force to the bar, and then being able to move under, what's going to happen when you go under the bar? It's going down, you're going down. The bar is winning that battle, right? Unless you're very, very strong. So maximizing technique, developing a crisp, solid explosion is a great way to sort out those things where, you know, you eliminate the hesitations there are in the top of the pull, right? Solid connection here. There's time. There's separation between you and the bar. You don't actually have to, you're not standing there pulling forever and then dropping quickly. You're exploding. The bar is moving up. You're pulling against it as you move down. Does it make sense to you guys? So it's not just a do this exercise, it fixes your technique. It's a work on these skills, shift some of your training to things that are emphasizing the actual speed under the bar, receiving the bar in the right place, and then moving quickly under the bar without any hesitation between pulling and dropping. And the same in the jerk, obviously. You have, you know, if you're trying to split your feet really narrow or whatever, you're gonna be in the same position, right?
As you look at, when you're talking about, you know, leg strength, you think there are better ways to get carryover from the front squat and the actual ability to stand up the clean, like what we see with Alyssa, maybe mistakes that people make in the front squat or positioning in the clean that limits their ability to stand the weight up?
You know, there's kind of like two different, I mean, there's a lot of different types of lifters, but there's a couple different lifters. Some lifters are just very strong. Right, they're going to develop a lot of strength really easily, and strength is never their weakness, right? So you're in a position where you can squat in whatever way is comfortable for you. If you front squat 270 kilos, you're not going to struggle much to stand up with cleans that are, you know, a lot lighter.
Max said that because he front squatted 270 kilos.
So
you know, if you're really strong in the front squat, let's say you do 270 kilos.
guilty. No, but if you're really, really strong, if you have a huge surplus of strength and developing leg strength is not hard, then this kind of technical practice can take place in the snatch and clean and jerk, right? You're just going to do those lifts, emphasize them much more, focus on that. If your front squat technique or your front squat numbers are very, very similar to your clean numbers, then you may want to shift things to being closer in the way they actually look, the mechanical execution of the lift. So if you front squat with your feet really wide, a little bit high, and your back is caved in, but when you clean, your feet are close, your back is straight, and you're more upright, those two movements have now become really dissimilar. And it's probably not going to transfer as much. So if you're really weak in the front squat, you should front squat with a very similar technique to the way you clean, right? Again, transference and specificity are going to be paramount in actually capitalizing on the work you do.
And right? Maybe to even flip that, and I think what we see with Alyssa Ritchie,
right, the opposite,
is that Alyssa, you know, she always had the problem where she couldn't stand up the weight. She has a really, really strong jerk, still does. I mean, 115 from the blocks when she weighed like 51 kilos, but she, you know, she couldn't for the life of her stand up at 115 clean. And as you watch her do a front squat and watch her catch the cleans, and I think for her it's more like, all right, you need to practice catching the clean in the same position that she front squats, where when she front squats and her knees go forward more and her weight stays in her legs, where when she catches the clean, she gets rocked back on her heels, and her first move is for her hips to go up and back as she stands up rather than her knees to stay forward and pressure in the front of her foot.
In Alyssa's case, too, this goes into like the long-term planning, right? Long-term plan for an athlete. Her best front squat was like 100 kilos, maybe 102 kilos, and she could clean and jerk, you know, 96. And then her front squat comes up to 115, and she's clean and jerking, you know, 100, right? Or 103 or whatever. But there's a discrepancy where her front squat moves or goes up and down, but it doesn't affect the misses are the same. The misses and meets are the same. The long-term plan here is that we're always going to develop the general qualities because, for one, they're very easy to develop. We want to make sure, we know her leg strength is not enough to clean and jerk 110 kilos. She's going to have to front squat 125, right? So in the long-term plan, you're developing general strength. You're always trying to get stronger in weightlifting, right? There's rarely a time where you're not trying to become stronger, okay? With technique, you're either maintaining the technique you have or further developing it, further improving it. You're never letting it regress, okay? So in her case, the general quality is something we're always working at. We're making her stronger. In addition to that, times when she's getting close to competition, technique is not necessarily a major factor because no one fucking cares what your technique is at a meet. You have to win, right? You got to lift the weights you need to lift to win. The 1 month or whatever before a meet, you're not going to change things. And in fact, focusing too much on technique a month before a meet in terms of changing something is going to, you know, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot because you get to a meet and then everything feels weird, right? Once you have solidified it and you've become, you know, you're ready to peak, then that's the technique you utilize going to the competition. Long-term progression, always developing strength. Short-term, in training cycles from one meet to the next, developing strength early or developing technique early, solidifying technique, and then using that what you have at a meet, and then always in that process so that you're never in a place where you're basically hamstringing yourself at a competition by fixing technique up to the, you know, the week before.
In the warm-up room.
I mean, there's coaches that are teaching people how to lift in the warm-up room. And then at the same time, the opposite is you're never going to sacrifice developing strength at the expense of, you know, well, now I'm going to become a really good lifter, but I'm not going to get any stronger. Because those two things are not going to go, they don't go, you know, they're not mutually exclusive. You have to become stronger. You have to become a better lifter. Once you become technically solidified and the technique you have is what you have, right, and that's about as good as it's going to get, and there's some exercises that will help you emphasize things and get a little better and a little sharper, but you're not going to change it much. You got to get stronger. You got to lift big weights, right? And so strength becomes be all and end all.
All right, so let's take another quick break, and then we'll come back with some Q&A. All right, we are back with Jug Life Live at JDI Barbell in Queens, New York. Yeah! They're getting it. They're good. This is a good group. All right, so we're going to go to some Q&A. This can cover, you know, what we've talked about tonight in the snatch or really any weightlifting training questions you have. Any questions? Yes, ma'am.
So you were talking about Alyssa Ritchie getting knocked back in the clean. What would you do
yell at her a lot. Yes. No. So
shame. Shame is the main
motivator.
That's
a really common thing with people in that place where your legs, your quads, really, the front of your thigh is not super strong, right? So you rack the bar, you land in the bottom. The first inclination when you push off the ground is all of your body weight moves towards your heels, or maybe you land on your heels when you receive the weight. The ideal position.
That's your body trying to shift to the muscles that it feels are stronger, hamstrings, low back. But in that very low angle, like the bottom position of a front squat or catching the clean, the hamstrings and low back are not well suited to move the weight.
Right. So when you receive weights, when you front squat, you have to have your knee traveling over your toe, right? Super, super important. One thing to work on addressing it is to receive the bar a little bit higher, right? Because generally, those kind of people, you probably can pull the bar pretty high, right? Yeah, it'll be modest, right? I was already doing it earlier with the squat stuff, so you can go ahead here. So when you receive the bar, if you're a little bit higher, meaning not completely at rock bottom, you have a little bit better position to start squatting into the bottom to anticipate the rebound. Let your knees travel forward over your foot. The initial movement right out of the hole needs to be pushing your toe down and keeping your knee over your foot, over your toe, the entire distance from the hole to about parallel, and then after that, it should be easier to stand up.
And that don't glaze past that cue of pushing your toe down.
Right.
We'll say to big toe pressure, because if you have pressure on your big toe, it's going to be very difficult for you to have pressure on your big toe and shift your hips backwards. So that big toe pressure is going to keep the knee forward a little bit longer, going to keep pressure in your quads and allow you to use them to their fullest in the positions that they're best suited to be used.
And then, you know, accessory movements, squatting is the obvious answer, but when you squat, you probably do the same thing, right? You probably shift backward a lot. So the big thing, the first thing we do is like belt squats, right? With a little belt around your hips, standing on the blocks. You can take a lot of pressure off your back and then force the pressure onto your legs a little bit more. Excuse me. That allows you to develop your quads a little bit more, with a little more focus, so that you can actually get some traction in developing better technique that you can transfer to front squatting, right? If you're not able to use your quads because they're just so weak that or your back is so strong, however you want to say it, you're going to shift pressure off of them. You have to do things to emphasize the opposite and put pressure on your legs, develop your legs more, and focus on that, right? So the first thing I would do is like work on the way you pull the bar, work on where you receive it, work on the actual like belt squat exercise and developing quad strength and some hypertrophy there, and then as you get better at that, then do more front squatting, increase the front squatting, and then work on receiving the clean better, right? Multiple reps in the clean and those kind of things.
And the reason why the belt squat will be so important is it trains the legs in absence of training the back. So if we're identifying this imbalance, strong back to relatively weaker legs, and then you do a bunch of front squats, you can front squat the same way that you're catching the clean. You can do this and hey, that kind of move where the hips are rising faster, and you have to fight to hold the bar in with your arms. But if you do a bunch of front squats like that, we're not going to correct the problem. Right. Maybe your legs get stronger and your back gets stronger and your clean can go up, but you're still going to have the same limiting factor as you try and go heavier and heavier. So with no weight being supported by the back in the belt squat, the legs have to do all the work.
You can pray too. That might do it.
Other questions? Questions?
Right? It worked for him. Performance enhancing deity on that one.
Let's go you, then you.
So in terms of like accessory work and stability, mobility, and strength, I'm looking at the upper body as well. What type of exercises would strengthen someone to prepare them for that catch and the hold and the snatch as far as like that's an upper body?
I mean, the big one on that is you got to first assess the problem. If you're really, truly weak overhead, I mean, I know many people. I had a good friend of mine that could jerk 210 and you could hold a gun to his head and he couldn't military press 75 kilos, right? So having a super strong press being thinking that, first of all, is my issue actually that my upper body is weak, Or is it that I'm bad, my technique is off, I'm slow under the bar, it's crashing on me, I can't support the weight because I'm in a bad position when I receive it, versus, yeah, I should be more strong here because that's actually a problem. There's obviously stability things that play into it. You know, you don't want to have a 100-kilo overhead squat but be able to snatch, you know, 140. I mean, technically it'd be 140 overhead squat, but you know what I'm saying? Like, where certain things are just so deficient, your upper body is so thin and weak that you can't, you know, you can't stabilize anything.
Or the positions are so poor.
Right, or the positions are so poor. So first, the first thing you do, and this is the big thing for everybody, getting more flexible and getting into better positions, the first thing you should do is the actual lift, right? I would spend time with a light weight or the empty bar and spending more of your time doing overhead squats, doing snatches. You know, make sure your range of motion is correct. Go all the way down, you know, receive the bar in the right place, squat down. Practice the actual movement first before you jump into grabbing a rubber band and a lacrosse ball and you know, foam rolling. Because what you want is specific adaptations. You want adaptations that transfer to weightlifting. The first place to get them is probably the snatch and clean and jerk, right? So in addition to that, accessory things that are important that you would do on some level, you know, there's, you know, from things like snatch grip push presses, snatch balance.
Would you do those from blocks or from the rack?
It's an inside joke, yeah. Those
kind of
things.
You guys are all on the inside now, though. So.
Those kind of things on some level will help. I mean, you know, it's a lot of these things you're going to find that you'll do them for a period of time, maybe earlier in your career. But as you get really, really strong, as you get better and better and more proficient, they won't have that same dramatic impact they had in the beginning. And you, once you're snatching consistently and decently, you may not struggle to develop more overhead strength, right? You may not need to do a bunch of snatch grip push presses, you know, until you're doing, you know, 110% of your best for reps, you know? It's just not as necessary. So those things are good in the beginning, developing the general qualities. Anything, you know, in the same position, the same grip, close to the lift is what's worthwhile. So snatch push press, drop snatch, or snatch balance, overhead squats, those kind of things.
And the phase of training has to be considered too. If you're 24 weeks out from a meet and you're in like a very general phase of training where you might be doing more like quote unquote bodybuilding type of exercises. I mean, even dumbbell military press stuff. And the lower level the athlete is, the greater improvement, the more general work is going to yield for them.
Yeah. If you snatch 40 kilos eating a donut might get you to 45. You know what I'm saying? Where
it's a hell of a donut. What? It's like a deep. It's like a deep ball.
A very special donut.
Deep ball donut.
It's got a lot of little pink things in it, but so the point being, like you just said, general things that would just make you generally more fit, more strong, are probably gonna transfer well. As that effect wears off, as you get better, you know, they are not as crucial.
Female lifters too, for the upper body stability stuff, there's naturally less muscular upper body, so that the general training phase and bodybuilding type of exercises, whether it's, you know, military press, dumbbells, barbell, even I think a lot of the reason why we see CrossFitters, CrossFitters as they transition to weightlifting, have a jerk that far outseeds their abilities in the clean. Well, if you've been handstand walking and doing all kind of handstands, like that's a great, not only for the positioning, you know, if you're doing it really well, but also for the strength of in the shoulders and upper body stability. I think that stuff can definitely play a role in the general phase, so furthest away from competition.
Yeah.
You had a question?
Yeah. You mentioned briefly when you were doing sort of the snatch stuff earlier about back position to start, whether it was like a more extended position with like your chest higher or more like neutral spine. And I think you mentioned that kind of either one could work, sort of depending on the position. Do you want to talk a little more about that?
Well, your chest being high versus your back being hyperextended are two separate things. So the angle and position of your hips and body are going to be determined by the length of your legs and torso. So once that's established, what I was talking about more is that you don't want to have your back hyperextended, right? Like
through the lumbar.
Yeah, the lumbar back. So you're like really, really arched. Because what happens is as you move off the ground, you basically negate the ability to extend your hip, right? If you guys all stood up and hyperextended your back and then try to flex your hip or extend your hip, it's really awkward, right? It doesn't really work that well, right? You can kind of pull through your hamstring, but your glute and the whole hip is just not going to move well. It also cants your shoulders back behind the bar a little bit initially. So when we set up, when you pull, if you watch a lot of really good lifters, when they pull, their back is neutral. If not, looking almost slightly arched, it's not arched, but slightly bowed because the pressure is distributed across their back, right?
And the weight's heavy.
Right. So when they pull, when you watch, you know, Ilya, or you watch any of these guys pull, their backs are straight. They're not hyperextended. They may be trying to arch their back in the position in the beginning. They may be saying, hey, arch your back. That's what I try to do. But that's more just a psychological effort to keep their back tight. Okay? Does it make sense? You want to make sure you can utilize all the links of your body, your legs, hips, torso, arms, to their fullest. By completely shutting one out, your hips, by arching too hard, you're going to lose the power at the top of the pull.
And it's going to tie into to like a breathing and bracing pattern. As you're in that extended position, let's think of an empty can sitting on a table. As it's intact and you try and compress the can, it's pretty hard to do. You got to put some good force into that. As soon as you put a dent in the side of the can, it smashes right away. That dent in the side of the can is lumbar extension. It could also be flexion, but pretty much everyone knows not to lift in flexion. So that excessive extension is losing your ability to create really good pressure, 360 degrees of pressure, circumferential expansion through your abs, obliques, and low back. So you're just going to be able to brace much harder in a more neutral lumbar position, and then any kind of chest up position is going to come more from the thoracic than at the lumbar.
Your chest up is more just a cue to lift your chin and keep your chest in this position, right? We don't want to be all caved over.
In terms of where you turn the bar over, I've heard like you're supposed to pull the bar to the same height every single time if you're doing the full lift. Where like say if you pull for the clean, you have to pull it to your like stomach every time and turn over, or pull to your sternum for the snatch. If you're just meeting the bar like wherever for the full lift, would that screw up your timing? Or like do you believe you should actually pull to the same height every single time, just like alter the force you use?
Well, by default, I mean the only weights we care about are maximum weights, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in reality, that's what we're talking about, because you can do whatever with lightweights. But by default, you're always going to pull the same weight to the minimum possible height, right? That minimum height is going to be determined by a couple things. One is the physical limitations. How low can you actually receive the bar, right? Let's say that's the lowest position of the overhead squat and the snatch is 50% of your height, okay? So that's the physical limit of where you could possibly pull the bar to. If you were instantly fast under the bar and you pulled it to 50%, you could catch it, right? Not really reasonable. So the height you actually pull the bar to on maximum weights is going to remain constant, because as you start lifting it higher, as you start lifting, let's say your best snatch is 100, and you can pull 100 kilos to 60% of your body height and still receive it, then you can pull 100 kilos to 70% of your body height and still receive it. Shouldn't you then be lifting 110 kilos or more, right? So as the bar increases in relative height, by logic, you should be lifting more weight. If you can pull the bar higher, you should be able to lift more weight. If there's other factors at play, meaning your speed under the bar is not optimal, or you pull really, really high, and you focus so much on pulling high that you're pulling the bar to 80% of your body height, you lose all that time you could have rolled, all that distance, because now you have to go under, or you've pulled really high. There's a delay in that because you're focusing on pulling rather than moving under the bar, and then you become less efficient, right? So you're pulling the bar too high or higher than you need to catch it, and then receiving it. So to answer your question, by default, by just deducing the question, the bar is always going to go the same height, basically. As you get the bar higher with the same weight, you should add weight and go the same height. Make sense? You're going to pull the bar basically to the same position every time when you receive a weight. You're just going to get stronger, and the weight's going to get heavier.
So yes.
Yes.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
in regard to like timing, though, like when you're doing like warm-up sets, in terms of timing of like when you turn over and how long your pull should
be. So the one thing you don't want to be is the fucking king of the warm-ups, right? The guy in the fucking back who is smashing weights. and his eyes are on fire, and he's beat red, and he's got 65 kilos in the bar, and it's power snatch, power snatch, power snatch, and just shit's going everywhere, and you're like, that guy looks strong as hell. And 80 kilos goes in the bar, and it molests him, right? So you want to lift rhythmically.
So it Weinsteins him.
You want to lift rhythmically, right? Some guy, wow, Chad is just crushing these jokes, and they are just, the reactions from the crowd are brutal. You want to be rhythmic and smooth, right? Not every lifter is the same. Some lifters are really violent and really aggressive, you know, when they're lifting, and that works fine for them. Some lifters are just more methodical, right? But your technique should be mimicking the next lift. When you take 50 kilos or the empty bar, what are you doing? You're preparing yourself for 60 kilos, 70 kilos, prepares you for 80 kilos, right? So everything you're doing is setting yourself up to develop and reinforce and rehearse the technique and skill and practice of maximum lifts. So in the warm-ups, you know, your lifts should mimic that to some degree. Obviously, the ability to become flawless or the ability to control the lift perfectly may be just out of your grasp as an athlete. You just can't do every single thing identically, but it should look rhythmic and fluid and smooth. How many of you guys, I know one guy will know him, Alexei Petrov, right? Very, like, Alexei Petrov is like the gold standard of technique, right? He's so smooth and perfect. His lifts, at least in the warm-ups, very, like, he'd do 110 kilos, he snatched 185. He'd do 110, and it looked exactly the same as 60 kilos. And 130 looked the same as 110. 150 looks the same as 130. Everything is just like a perfect, smooth robot, right? Just, that's what I would say is probably more ideal, is to become efficient and beautiful and perfect with those lifts, rather than, like, I power these ones so they feel light, and then I go into the heavier ones. Yes. That's a short answer.
Hey, one more question. I know it's a lot of pressure to have the last question. Are you guys ready for the pressure of the last question?
So what would you recommend for a lifter that can't get into thoracic extension in the center position and through the first pull? Asking for a
I would spend more time setting up in that position, right? I mean, there's no rule that says you can't just set up on a bar and hold the position for 30 seconds, right? And do that for, you know, 10 minutes a week total time, right? There's no reason you can't just practice that position. If that's not paying off, then start adding in other stuff that is probably beyond my scope, but, you know, that's other
more of Dr. Quinn.
Dr. Quinn, medicine man stuff, you know, mobility.
Dr. Quinn, therapy man.
Therapy man, sorry. I've had a few.
He loves Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman jokes. Quinn Hanak has never heard one of those, in fact.
Things that release the tissue and relieve some of the tension in that period of time, and then working on the start position, right?
Probably the best exercise, like a mobility type of exercise you could do to address it. You know, get up on the foam roller or something, but under load. Doing like a very controlled eccentric straight arm pullover, so you could take the bar is probably even too heavy for it. You might want to take a PVC and put like a 5 kilo plate in the middle of the PVC, and with keeping your ribs down, take the bar backwards and forward. But yeah. If I was laying down doing that with some elevation at the T spine, that'd be a useful exercise for it.
Let's take blocks.
Let's take one more question. Your question.
What if you have a lifter that is like the opposite lift? He's not pulling high enough. Like, he wants to get under the bar so much that he's not finishing the second.
Well, so
total
so,
different podcast. That's a different.
You're in the same kind of boat, because what you're doing is trying to, you're slow under the bar, or the weight feels heavy. So what you're doing is like trying to move under too soon. That's the problem with the pull, right? Focus on developing a better pull and practicing snatch pulls or clean pulls or whatever, developing the right timing, and then practicing the snatch and clean. In addition to that, you can do pull plus snatch or those kind of things. Even the same like hang snatch and block snatches will help, but focus on developing the right technique in the pull so that you can actually go under the bar at the right time. If you're
it's funny that you mentioned that, because I actually have something right here that could be used. So a lot of this, the technique stuff we're talking about, Max actually addresses in this book, The Weightlifting Technique Triad, because it's all an interrelationship of how high you can pull the bar, how fast and well-timed you can go under the bar, and making sure that the bar is in that right, the correct position, the bar trajectory. So, you know, being able to assess which one of those you may be deficient in and then choose the right exercises to bring that up is, you know, how you're going to have very effective, efficient programming and not be wasting your time doing, you know, exercises that you might love because you're really good at them because you're good at going under the bar fast.
Yeah.
So you love doing high blocks and high hang and no contact because you're able to have a really good result in it, but it's not fixing the problem of the
right.
exercises you hate to do, like powers or muscle variations where you have to pull the bar really high. So, you know, it was funny that he mentioned that. It's planted him in the crowd. But this can help you you answer some of those. That's probably a good place to come to a close tonight. So thank you, everyone,
for coming,
listening, for lifting. Upcoming events for those watching and listening on the internet, and actually for you guys here in person, we'll have another Jug Life Live event with a snatch workshop like this on Friday, April 13th at Max's Gym in Oakland. So you can register for that at the events section at store.jtsstrength.com. And then we'll be coming back to the New York area. Sunday, August 19th, we'll have the 2018 Juggernaut Performance Summit. That is me talking about programming, Max talking about technique, Dr. Mike Isretel on nutrition, Dr. James Hoffman on recovery, and Dr. Quinn Hennock on Quinn things, movement, mobility, stability. I don't even know what to call it anymore. I don't know what the right word is. But all in one day, so basically like 5 90-minute presentations and PowerPoints and all that kind of stuff on it. Last time we did that was last January in Long Island.
Two people died.
Brains exploded.
Legally, I have to say that.
Yeah, brains exploded, so wear a helmet. But Bill came from 22 different states to attend this. In fact, flying from Vancouver, Canada, Nevada, America, all the way here to Long Island to do it. So whether you live...
You didn't know that, did you?
Whether you need to battle, you know, 6 hours to drive the 10 miles out there through New York traffic, or you're flying from another state or even another country, I think there's no other event that combines sort of these five foundational elements of training: program design, technique, nutrition, recovery, mobility, all into one day. That's August 19th, the 2018 Juggernaut Performance Summit. Beyond that, if you're interested in online coaching, we offer that, juggernautcoaching.com. Powerlifting, weightlifting, super total, power building, and strongman. Go ahead and check that out. We have a bunch of different levels of that, from our club programming, which is more like a big group kind of programming, to team, which is sort of individualized by type, by experience, goal, strength, and ability, and then one-on-one, which is, you know, fully customized programming. So you can check that out there. Subscribe to our YouTube, 3 videos a week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, brought to you by the world's strongest videographer, Shorty Sedang. What did you deadlift at your meet last weekend, Shorty? 485 at 121. Those are pounds. I know you guys are confused by those. That's 220 at 55? 220 at 55. That's pretty fucking good, Shorty. And beyond that, the Jug Life podcast, you can find that the video version on YouTube, and then iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and thejuglife.com. If you like the Jug Life podcast, go on iTunes. Give us a 5-star review. Write us something or something funny or nice, like Gilbert Grape 21 said, Max and Chad are a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of movie references, if that's your thing.
They are both huge influences in my strength training, and Max has even influenced me to transition from powerlifting to weightlifting. In the words of Joe Dirt, keep on keeping on. So if Mr. Gilbert Grape 21 sends me an email at chad@jtsstrength.com, we'll send you a shirt or a hat or something like that. And that's it. That's the Jug Life. Max, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram, max_Ada, on Facebook, or you can email me at max@jtsstrength.com.
And I'm Chad Wesley Smith, @ChadWesleySmith and @JuggernautTraining on Facebook and Instagram, filling up your newsfeed all day. This was another episode of the Jug Life Podcast. Thank you to JDI Barbell and Jesse for hosting. Thank you to all you wonderful people. And we'll see you next week.
Are we going to the bar?
We're going to the bar.
Let's do it.